Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to tell you a story. Once there was a woman who wondered what was in the world. She thought about taking a journey, but she never felt quite ready. Her boots had holes, and she could never quite get a hold of, or she could never quite get a hang of the maps. But one day, she felt herself drawn to a forest at the edge of town. It was quiet there, and she loved the people who spent their time wandering through the trees, sitting by the stream, and watching the birds. She'd seen other forests, but there was something about this one, something that drew her back. And one day, she decided she wanted to stay. She knew there were other forests, and not to mention deserts and lakes and rugged mountains and, of course, long winding paths to destinations far away. But there was something that kept calling her to this space of green and to these trees. She felt like she belonged there, like that was a place prepared for her, waiting for her. And after she realized she wanted to spend her life exploring the everyday wonder of moss and fern, to trace the hue of the forest over the seasons. She wanted to grow into this forest's rhythms, its beauty and its sorrow. So she asked the people if she could stay. "Oh, this isn't our forest," they told her, "but we love it, and you're welcome to love it with us." And she did. And she would turn the same rock over and over again, and she was still surprised by what she found there. The new pattern left by a snail or a darker shade of mud. She watched the river ebb and flow with the rains. At times, the wind and the rain were terrible. The snow and the wind were cold and biting, but there were others there, huddled around her to push the cold away. The boughs sheltered her, and the leaves gave her warmth. Sometimes she grew curious about other places, and she'd go off for a bit, bringing back something she learned, and that helped her love the leaves and the soil of her own forest even more, to see it was so different and so similar, beautiful and strange and familiar all at once. She never arrived anywhere. She wore over the same path, welcoming others to explore with her, showing others what she found, asking questions about birds and snakes, learning new things, and being surprised to find there was always more to discover. I offer you that story, which is a metaphor, because today we're talking about baptism, about the baptism of Jesus, and our invitation into a baptized life. If you talk to other Mennonites, you'll hear a common theme. People are not getting baptized anymore. That's true across the country, except in churches where baptism is expected of youth, often where there's a sense of pressure from family or friends to get on with it. And so this week, I've been thinking about why that might be. Why are fewer people choosing baptism, this ancient ritual of entering into the life of the church? Naming God's belovedness of them, turning towards a life shaped by the belovedness of Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to offer that story as maybe a different kind of frame, one that we'll talk about as we pondered the story from Matthew. Today we remembered the baptism of Jesus. Jesus comes to the Jordan with the words of John the Baptist blasting through the silence, "Repent!" The one John is expecting, the one John is not worthy to tie his sandals. He has come to the edge of the water. I have often wondered, went through the minds of those who heard John's voice and were drawn to the river, all of Jerusalem. What led them to the edge of the water to step into this new life? I don't think it was logic. I can't imagine they sat and made a list of pros and cons, thought through the consequences of what it might mean to move towards John in that swirling brown river, because something else drew them, something within them that was stirring and churning, that turned them around, that changed their minds and altered their lives, an encounter with themselves, encountering the world, encountering grace. Here in the church, we have a name for that. It's called faith. In the 16th century, Martin Luther, the reformer, proclaimed that all of life is baptism. All of life is baptism. Because we step into these waters once and every moment for the rest of our lives. In the waters of baptism, we die to a kind of life. That kind of life that we die to, all that stuff that John said was bound for unquenchable fire. That life says that we are what we earn and that our lives don't really matter that much. We die to letting our work define us, to our possessions defining us, to our marriage or our children defining us. We die to the logic that everything has a price. We die to amassing more and more. We die to family first. We die to our security. In the waters, we die to all of this. We die to looking out for number one. In the ancient world, in the very first churches, baptismal fonts were constructed into the shape of a cross, and they were built into the ground. So when a person was baptized, they actually started off at one end of the cross and went down like they were being buried, and then they came out of the ground on the other side like they rose again. Because it's the symbol, this little death and resurrection. Baptism is a little death. And Martin Luther reminds us that we rise again and again. You rise every time you show up here. You have died and risen again by refusing an economic logic that says every moment of your life should be productive. You should be useful, that even your rest and your leisure isn't there to make you a better worker. You rise every time you foolishly invest time and money into this crazy experiment of the church, into people who will never get better, into people who might never become productive members of society and who may never even be grateful that you invested in them. You die to the logic of this world, to the crushing, grinding systems and cogs and machinery of this world. And when you are born again, you are born in love. To repent is to die. But it is to die to be risen again, to be born again, as Nicodemus says. It is to be reborn into the wonder and joy and ordinariness of love. You were born for love. You were made for love. You were created for joy and for hope. You are not what you earn. You are not your family or your debt. You aren't your job or your retirement plan, your health or your weight. Not even all the good things you have done in this life. In Matthew, our friend John the Baptist is more than a little puzzled to encounter Jesus asking for baptism. He is struck. He was horror struck, aghast, shocked. You should be baptizing me, John says. I'm the sinner. And this is where Jesus adds something to our understanding of baptism. Jesus has come to fulfill all righteousness. He makes full. He fills up what is right, what is good, what is holy, what is true. Jesus' baptism is an act of filling up life with what it ought to be. Because when we're defined by something other than God's self-giving love in Jesus Christ, we're actually being emptied out. We're left to this relentless wheel of production. But now, beloved, all of life is baptism. I often wonder if we hear about baptism and decide that at some point we might know enough. We'll have enough faith. We'll have enough theological expertise. We'll have read enough of the Bible. I do think there's something to this. Go into the world making disciples and baptizing, Jesus says at the end of this gospel. make disciples and baptize. I think there's good reason to invite people to consider this little death and what it will mean for them. Who is this God who has sent Jesus to live and die and rise among us? But I want to offer this caution. There is no point at which you will know enough or have enough faith or get enough information to pass the test for entering this community through baptism. There is no test. It has already been done. Everything has already been completed in Jesus. We know that those who follow Jesus in the flesh, his real body on earth, these disciples, they flee in terror when things get tough. They bicker and fight and misunderstand, because all of that still happens in our baptized lives. Even after we've stepped into the full realization of God's love poured out on us, baptism won't initiate a perfect life. In fact, you might get more confused and have more questions, maybe even some more or different problems. But what happens in baptism is we say yes to bringing all of that to this forest that we call the church, which is also Christ's body. We say that we'll wander here with others. We'll be amazed at God here. We'll get frightened and angry here. We choose this place because something inside us told us it was always waiting, that it chose us long before we even knew we were looking for something. All of life is baptism. And in baptism, we die again and again to the ever-changing logic of destruction around us. And we rise into the wonder and strangeness and mystery of that we call love. And we know this love is in Jesus, a body that is now made up of you and me, of all of our lives lived together. You may be someone who wants to consult the map. You may want to get your boots patched, prepare for the path ahead. You may need some time. And that's okay. But maybe not. You may be someone who knows the depths of the brokenness of the world that wants your body, your mind, your soul. For some of you, there may be something stirring inside even today, a readiness to make your own decision to bring your life into this forest of faith. You may sense a call to wonder and to wander with us. In a few moments, we've done every year on this Sunday for the past years, we'll have a remembrance of baptism, a time for those of us who have said yes to remember what we said yes to and to remember God's love for us. I'll invite the congregation to say that together. We'll say the letter G, one said in many churches, one said in Mennonite churches around the world. And I also want to say that if you are not baptized, if you haven't made a decision to step into this life, can I make that invitation to you today? If you'd like to enter into a discernment process for baptism, you want to look at the map a little bit more, I welcome you to do that today. For those who sense that stirring, during the remembrance of baptism, we'll invite everyone who wishes to come forward and to receive the sign of the cross and water on their forehead. If you would like to join those people and let me know. If you'd like to be baptized today, join those people and let me know. I'm going to ask Craig to put up the confession that we ask people who enter into baptism to say, after we've done the remembrance of baptism, if there are people who wish to enter into discernment or to be baptized, we'll offer up space to do that as well. And if not, that's also okay. We'll have a time of prayer together and continue to let God Spirit us. Come and receive the sign of the cross and water. Remembrance that you are chosen and freely chose the love of God.